Well, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day. And Lord, open up our hearts to hear what you want us to hear. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me this morning, God. And Lord, that you would teach us, God, and pull us closer to you. And we ask this all in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. Well, this is the last day of 2017. And these years go by so fast. There's a little poem that says, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." This is the time of the year when many people make resolutions. And I talk about resolutions every year because we got a fresh start tomorrow. At least we think we do. Sounds like we will. And people make all these resolutions, you know, I'm not going to eat this, and I'm going to lose this weight, I'm going to be nicer, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And most of them fail. Once in a while, they work. When, back in 1964, I made a New Year's resolution. It was actually in December of 63. And I decided that I was going to read my Bible every day. You see, the pastor in my confirmation class had said something about seventh heaven, and I'd never heard of that expression before. So I went up to him after confirmation, and I said, "Where in the Bible does it talk about seventh heaven?" He said, "Well, I'll show you." So he went to his concordance, Young's concordance, opened it up and looked up heaven, and couldn't find it, and looked up seventh and couldn't find it. And I could see he was getting frustrated, because congregations really know how to frustrate a pastor when he can't answer a question. And he says something and he can't back it up. And he says, "Well, I can't find it right now, but it's there. I'll find it later." It's a good way to get out of it. Well, I didn't think it was there. So I thought the only way I'm going to find it is if I read through the Bible and look for seventh heaven. And I decided to start reading on the 1st of January, 1964. Problem was, the 3rd of January came around and I hadn't started yet. I thought, "Oh, I missed it." So I started reading my Bible on the 3rd of January, but the problem was motivation wasn't there anymore because I didn't start on the 1st. Which is what happens to kill all kinds of resolutions. And so it didn't last. Well, the next December came around and I thought, I'm going to start reading my Bible on the 1st of January in 1965. And the 1st of January 1965 was 10 o'clock at night. I got in bed, turned the lights out, and then I remembered, wait a minute, I was going to start reading my Bible this year. So I got up quick, read the first three chapters in Genesis. And for some reason, I kept it up. And I kept it up every day since then for the last 53 years. And I went through the Bible looking for seventh heaven, and I did not find it because it is not there. And it wasn't until years later that I realized my pastor, who was such a learned man and such a reader, he had found where it talked about seventh heaven in the Quran. Because that's where it's talked about. But it's not in the Bible. But what it did, is that it got me reading the Bible. And what a wonderful thing to be able to do every day of your life. I mean, I take time every day. Sometimes it only takes 10, 15 minutes, sometimes 20, sometimes a half an hour. And I read it every day because it's my time to spend with God's Word. And God speaks to me and teaches me new things all the time. And I've talked about this resolution before. I've talked about reading the Bible every day. And many of you have done that and are doing it. And several of you have read through the Bible once, twice, three times since then. What a blessing to be able to do that. But I've also talked about New Year's resolutions of having devotions with your family. And we've given out devotion books for children that at the dinner table have devotions every day. Have devotions with a husband and wife or with children and parents every day. And watch what happens. My family and I, when I was growing up, we had devotions around our supper table every single night after supper. What a time, what a blessing for the family to spend time together that way. I mean, to add a resolution of something different in your relationship to God is a blessing. Well, I'm going to add a new resolution this year. And this resolution is, why not keep the commandments? You see, there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. Now, this guy had a lot of money, and he was young, and he knew his Bible. He knew the Word. But he still was feeling something lacking in his life. And so he came to Jesus and said, good master, good teacher, in Hebrew it's good rabbi, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus answered this question really odd. He said, why do you call me good? There's nobody good except God. Jesus was making a statement to this young man. You see, this young man did not look at Jesus as though he were the Son of God. He looked at him as though he were just a good teacher. And Jesus was saying to him, you don't even believe in me. You don't even believe in God. Or at least, you don't have a very good relationship with God. So Jesus answered this question by leaving God out of it. And he quoted the commandments to this young man, and he started with commandment 4. In that commandment, honor your father and your mother. And he went right through the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus quoted all the commandments to him except the first 3. And the young man said, oh, I've kept all those commandments. I do that. This was a good person. And then the young man says, but what do I still lack? Because this young man realized he was lacking something in his life. He did not realize that it was a relationship with God that he was lacking. So Jesus hit him right where it hurt. And Jesus said, go. Sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Wow. Jesus was inviting this young man into his inner circle to follow Jesus. But the young man had so many possessions, he did not want to sell them, he did not want to give them away, that he left. Now Jesus said, if you do this, you will have treasure in heaven. But he wanted treasures here on this earth. You see, selling what he had and giving to the poor would in itself not give him eternal life. And if we sold everything we had and gave it all away, it wouldn't mean anything. But to this young man, his possessions were more important to him than his relationship with God. And whenever we have anything in our life that is more important than our relationship with God, then that thing becomes the God of our life. Jesus was saying, hey, what you lack is that God is not the most important being in your life. Your treasures are. That young man could have kept his treasures if God would have been the most important thing in his life, the most important being in his life. If that young man had done what Jesus said, we would have learned his name. He might have been one of the gospel writers. I mean, look what he gave up. And there's another saying that goes, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That young guy died. He couldn't keep any of his treasures. He's not even, except his name is not even remembered, not even known. But if he would have turned his heart toward God, he would have had treasures in heaven, and he would have been one of the inner circle with Jesus. Well, we can be one of the inner circle with Jesus. Now, we're not going to be one of the 12 disciples, but we can be one of his disciples. And all we have to do is turn our hearts toward him. Jesus said, keep the commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We don't have to keep the Torah laws, the 613 laws that were given in the Bible. And I know Axel here a month ago prayed, Lord, thank you that we don't have to kill sheep to get our sins forgiven. That just hit me when he prayed that. Some of you remember it. We don't have to do that stuff. All we have to do is keep his 10 commandments. And he says, and they are not burdensome. They're not hard. We're not under those strict laws that the Jews were under, sacrificing and doing this. Just keep the commandments. And if we fail in one of those commandments, we just say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, and the forgiveness is right there. That's a New Year's resolution that we need to focus on making. Not to lie, not to bear false witness, be honest, be good. Most of us keep most of those like that young man did. But as we keep them and focus on keeping them, and when we see ourselves stepping out of line to say, Lord, bring me back, forgive me, help me to do better next time, he will. And that's probably the best resolution any of us can ever make. Keep his commandments, because they're not grievous. I entitled my sermon today, What Should I Do? Well, that's what we should do. Amen.